I just let that just kind of smooth on out. I'm telling you, chill hop is the way to go. If you want to leave hip hop, that's the way to go, is get into chill hop. I could let that track play on the whole time I'm talking. It would just sound smooth. But I like, my voice gets high and I get excited. And it would go right from chill hop and sounding like I'm listening to Megadeth or hard rock, the way I'd be speaking. But anyway, as I said, Ukraine war, gas, rent, food, everything is going up. The inflation is getting higher. There is no backstopping it. They're going to mess with your emotions. Like Big Worm said, when they play with your money, you're playing with my emotions. That's what they're doing with the gas, rent, food. They're playing with your emotions. They know that you are more scared of being broke, hungry, and not having a place to live than any other natural disaster that comes into your life. They know that. So what they do is play off your emotions for it, to get you to act out of character. And that's why I told you in the last two episodes, you need to start separating yourself from people who are still living worldly. Because as you see, as blood sacrificing and ritualistic behavior is becoming the norm, it's because everybody's infatuated with mainstream media. Everyone is infatuated with the characters within TV shows. And all you getting is softcore rituals. That's all they're giving to you. So you have millions and millions of Americans or people spread out all over the world that are constantly watching programming. So when it comes to getting the necessary resources to take care of yourself and take care of your family, you're basically going to see people act it out as if you see them act out in The Purge. When they cut off your natural resources, when they cut off the ability to help yourself, and you have to rely on the state, you rely on the government for all the answers, that is how they trap you into slavery. And that is how you're going to get a lot of people within that transition from going to the dollar into cryptocurrency. When you get that transition, you're going to get a lot of people who are going to rebel and not have enough for that transition. And somebody asked me, Ruben asked me in Instagram, my DM, he said, how do I stay ahead of this? How do I stay prepared? I said, I can't really tell you how to do it. That's the point of getting in the spirit. That's the point of praying. Like I said before, I don't have all the necessary answers. I can't really tell you what works for me is going to work for you. I can't tell you that. All I can keep telling you is what I do. Before I make any other major move in my life, I have to pray about it first. I have to pray for guidance. I have to pray for protection. I have to do that when I make major moves. And when I see and understand and sit outside of this world and see how things move and how they direct themselves, that's how I make better life decisions. But if I can't get you to see that, if you're constantly listening to rap, if you're constantly listening to drill music, drill hop, if you're constantly watching Sports Center, if you're constantly watching sports, I can't tell you how to see it, how I see it, because I don't watch those things. I go about my day-to-day life. I talk to y'all once a week. I take care of my daughter because I have 50-50 custody. So I take care of her during the week. I'm literally in the house most of the time. I'm not out bopping around, flying to Tulum, going. I'm not doing a whole lot. I'm not. My moves are very, very small. That's what keeps me prepared. I'm not out spending money wildly like I used to. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to clubs. I'm not going to lounges. I'm not smoking hookah. I'm not doing all those things that's going to have me out and about where I could possibly fall into a snare, possibly fall into a trap. And I'm 42 years old, so a lot of you young ones don't understand this yet because you still feel you have so much life built up inside you and you have to travel and you didn't get to do those things before COVID. I mean, I'm sorry. It's just a really crappy period of time that you're living in, that everything is, we're coming down to the wire of Yahushua coming back. We're coming down to where these plagues are going to unleash themselves. I'm sorry. You're not going to be able to enjoy the things that most of us old heads, the Gen Xers, got to enjoy. We got to really live before all of this nonsense, and we getting to have a better perspective. Just like when the Israelites sinned, they didn't, like all our forefathers, they sinned so many times and went into slavery so many times. We get to be the beneficiary of these blessings because we now see the full picture. We are at the end of it. And this generation won't be able to see it because your brain is clouded with so much unnecessary media. So I can't tell you how to prepare. All I can tell you is continue to leave this world and pray when there's major moves that need to be made. Like if you need to find another place to live, go to the Most High first and watch Him move things for you in order for you to be safe. That's how I did it. When I didn't know where I was going to live a couple of years ago, it was the first time in a while that I had to go choose to go find by myself to find some place to live, because I always had an agent. I always had a financial advisor. I had somebody helping me. It was the first time I didn't have anybody helping me, and the Most High delivered me a property where I can be still, where I can soak up some of the blessings. I could pause. And maybe I told you the last episode about timing, how about a space and time. He gave me a space of time right now to really sit and be peaceful, to understand what's going on outside of me, so then I can learn how to make better decisions. So when I'm comfortable making those decisions, I can now go to Him to make a bigger decision that's going to impact me for not 2 or 3 months, not 2 or 3 years, but 10 or 20 years. That's the game plan. It should be the game plan for you. Now, as far as resources, when they start, you know, messing with your emotions, when the gas prices go up 10 cents, then it go down 10, 20 cents. I mean, they play on your emotions. Rent, food. They playing on it because it has nothing to do with the Ukrainian war against Russia. It's not. You could tell it ain't even been 2 weeks, y'all. It barely is even 2 weeks that this war started. Look how many narratives and storylines and lies that they have tried to push on you. And I told you before in the last episode, when you sit back and slow your life down, when you slow this calendar down, you can understand that this is happening way too fast for it to be organic. So when it's happening too fast and they're trying to push this war to get into digital currency, to get into the chip and the implant, to crash the system, in order to do it, they're moving at hellfire pace. Like when scripture says, the devil don't got long. So he's going to drop down from the first heaven and create havoc. That is what he's going to do. That's what he's allowed to do. He's not doing it by himself. He can't move and operate by himself. He got to get the blessings first. And that's what the Most High is going to let him do. Come down and push everything through fast as he can so we can get to the Antichrist, so we can get to Yahushua, so we can get to the New Jerusalem and the New Earth, so we can get all this wickedness out. It's moving so fast. You should be praising and be enjoyed that these things are coming. Because if you are strong in your spirit, if you're strong in the Ruach, and you follow these law, statutes, commandments, you are already fortified. You already have a hedge about you that you shouldn't have to worry about rent, food, gas, clothing. You just shouldn't. Because you should already be living conservatively. You should already prepare your mind for if, say, gas goes all the way up to $20 to $30, then you know to pray about what's your next move. To prepare you. The spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh is beautiful. It's always going to predict or program you before you even make serious moves. And that's the point of having a really pure spirit. I'm not talking about like never ever sinning. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the ability to lock out this world, to really focus on the Most High, to read scripture. I'm not saying read the scripture every single day, but keep it on your mind. When you're always thinking about it, the spirit moves. The knowledge and wisdom, it moves. It brings up certain knowledge and facts and things that you need to watch out for, and it'll take care of itself. I know some of you get scared, like, oh, all because you're watching media too much. I'd be posting about how they lie. I told you they lied about how buildings are getting bombed out and destroyed, but yet you see people walking out of them as if they don't have fire departments, as if the buildings were already done being on fire, done collapsing, and you just see people walking out with the TV camera crew with film on them, walking out of these buildings that have been bombed out with babies and pregnant women, as if the fire just consumes itself, as if the bombs are just, everything evaporates as soon as the bomb hits. And all you see is broken trees and burnt grass. Like that, you see more burnt grass than you see burnt buildings. That's the whole point of sitting back and really watching how this mediocrity of a show operate with itself. You could tell this, all they doing is lying. And you know when they lie a lot is when they got to bring out old World War II psyops. Everything is World War II, World War II, World War II. It was the same thing when it was 6 million Jews. Before, in 1896, if you look up the New York Times in 1896, yes, 1896, it was 6 million Jews then, 6 million, 6 million, 6 million, all the way up to 1945. They're doing the same exact thing, except this time, people ain't just reading newspapers. It's on social media. So you're seeing them reuse footage of people in body bags that they already used with COVID. All they're doing is putting a green screen over it. That's how fast they're trying to go. See, it's not happening organically enough, because a real war would take 2 to 3 years, 4 to 5 years when you really see bodies on the ground. You're not seeing that. You're not seeing mass death as you thought that you should when it comes to war. They have all these tanks and trucks backed up on, you know, in Ukrainian roadways. Some of them don't have gas to move. They're not moving as far as they are portraying that they're moving. And these cities are so-called, these major metropolis cities in Ukraine are supposed to be being taken over, but you're not seeing mass death. The fact that they have to fake body bags right now from an old tape is hilarious. You shouldn't be scared. You shouldn't be worried. It's hilarious. This war is not going to touch, well, it's not going to touch America in as far as a physical way. I'll get into Henry Groover. I think he was a pastor. Henry Groover had a vision, he says, about Russia and China invading America. And it starts from the point of Seattle. I'll get into that into the next episode. But look up Henry Groover and his vision of America being spoiled by Russia and China. Just look into that. I'll talk about that next week. But anyway, back to what I was saying. But if you look at this, it's hilarious. It's not going to touch America this way. The inflation was already happening before we even went to war. The prices were going up. When Trump left office, prices started going up a little bit. When Biden came into office, that's when they start moving. They were already predictive programming you for that. It's just now that you've seen war and they say, oh, let's blame Russia. So everybody think, oh, it's Russia's fault. Then Russia plays the bad guy. And America has to have a bad guy. It has to have an enemy for capitalism, for this economy to actually function. It has to be an enemy, because they can't let you be stagnant. Because then you start figuring things out. I mean, how many times when you grew up, see, Gen Xers know this. When we grew up, all we knew was communism. That's what Reagan administration, that's what every administration after Reagan kept blaming everything on. It was Russia. It was communism that they was worried about. It went already down to the Iran drug-Contras. What Oliver North and I had, it was because they were drug trafficking between communism, communists, Cuba, communism. That's all America knew was communism. Now you don't even hear about it for like the last 5 or 10 years. You don't hear nothing about that. Now you hear about Al-Qaeda. Then it was the Muslim terrorists and all that. Now that, all that kind of died down. Then it was COVID. Then we had created that enemy. And now that's kind of fizzling out. So now they have to attack the economy again and bring it under a digital currency or prepare for a digital currency by using communism, and in World War II and Nazi fascism, they're bringing that back around. And I'm telling you, it's too fast for it to be fascism. It's too fast for it to be communism. It's too fast to be anything else. It's too fast. It's 2 weeks. We're not really seeing any of the fruits of their labor that is even pointing to communism or fascism. They haven't even came in and said, hey, this is what we're going to do with Ukraine. You haven't heard Vladimir Putin say, this is the plan we have for Ukraine. We're going to make them change religions. We're going to make them do that. You haven't heard none of that. You just see them hitting bio labs. And and that's what they want you to believe. They want you to believe that Ukrainian has these bio labs for defense, that America also is with them in the defense of having bio weapon labs that they're protecting and hoping that Russia gets to them. They're hoping this. They want Russia to hit those bio labs. So then Russia is again for enemy for biological warfare. So then what do you think is going to happen? The refugees that they fly over in this America, when these bio labs, all of a sudden another virus breaks out, which is what they've been telling you will happen again. Bill Gates has said it. All these, even Walensky, the woman from the CDC, everybody's been saying it. No one says that COVID is going to be the end of it. They are already saying there's something else is going to come and it's going to be worse than COVID. They're already saying this. So now you line up the Ukrainian biolabs or whatever they have that America is investing into. They have businesses over there too. So once Russia hits that and say, oh, we're going to release all these weapons of mass destruction viruses on the world, then that's when you're going to get this implant. That's when you're going to get everybody falling dead, or it's going to ramp up everything. Because now everybody's investing emotionally and spiritually and mentally within mainstream media. Before, no one was believing mainstream media. When COVID happened, people were jumping out of CNN. People were jumping out of MSNBC because you start seeing the lies. Now when war happens, now you already say, well, why would they lie? You went from, man, why would they lie about a virus to they lying about a virus to why would they lie about a war? And it's going to be too late, and you're going to figure out why they lied about a war, and then you're going to be stuck not finding ways to find your resources. You're going to be stuck. That's why I said you can't follow mainstream media. You can't follow the world. You have to live a slow calendar. You have to have your time frame and how you operate has to be slowed down. And you can't slow it down if you're always on social media, if you're always watching basketball, football games, if you're always participating in whatever narrative celebrities come out with, you're going to get caught, is what I'm saying. You're going to get caught, and it's going to be too late for you to understand it. But that's why I mentioned the Kanye and Pete Davidson thing. I'm going to wrap that up because it was a long ritual that they were doing. And all this was in the service of Pete Davidson. And I told you before, Prince Hall Freemasons and York and Scottish Rite Freemasons are completely segregated. That means black Freemasons don't go into York, Scottish Rite, white Freemasons lodges. They have their own lodges. That's for that particular reason. Albert Pike said, when the day that a Negro becomes a Freemason, I shall leave it. And this is Albert Pike, creator of the KKK. And you have Jay-Z, Prince Hall Freemason. You have Kanye West, Prince Hall Freemason. You have a lot of black entertainment stars are wrapped up in Prince Hall Freemasonry, which means they are subjected to the crown. Subjected to the crown means Rome. That's their king. And Queen Elizabeth is their queen. And both of those come from Idumea, Edom. So as much as black entertainment brags about how they're bosses and kings and queens, they are not. They are subjected under another race. And this has been going on since the 1800s when Freemasonry and all that came to America. And all of Freemasonry is Jewish mysticism. So that it cracks me up that everybody thinks this Pete Davidson and Kanye West beef is real. This is done so Pete Davidson can rise up. You've seen him go degrees. You know that Freemason ladder that everybody's seen the picture of? The steps with different degrees. Pete Davidson is going up a degree. You see him being lifted up. And if you go back to Suicide Squad, he didn't have a real big role in that. Because he's come from SNL, and most of his skits aren't even funny. I don't think he's funny. I think he's corny. But you see them moving him along. He ends up, he's not the most attractive dude, but he ends up with, I don't know, that little girl with the ponytail. I don't even know her name anymore. But he was dating her, that singer. Then from there, he goes into Kim. And then they have to create the Kanye West beef because he's rising up. In order for a ritual to work, in order for them to put out in front of you or hide it in plain sight that they're graduating in degrees, is to create drama. I mean, they don't like to do things behind doors anymore. It's not like, they have to do things in front of you so you can be okay with the idea of seeing somebody more. So if behind closed doors, if Pete Davidson went through the rituals and all this in the dark and we just saw him in movies, we wouldn't be able to accept him. You just wouldn't, because you guys are programmed. If you just went from Pete Davidson, an SNL skit guy, to movies and to dating Kim without the drama in between, you would think, this ain't right. This is stupid. You guys wouldn't swallow it as much. But because they made Kanye a bad guy, because he's a Prince Hall, so he's subjected to Pete Davidson. Even though Kanye is a higher degree in Prince Hall Freemason, which means black Freemasons, he is still lower than Pete Davidson. Because Pete Davidson, being white, is in York Scottish Rite Freemasonry. Do you understand? So the lowest white Freemason is higher than the highest black Freemason, which means they're subjected to each other. Well, I mean, Pete, even if he's a low degree, is higher. His worth is higher than Kanye West. And that's the funny thing about you guys. That's why Kanye West and all those other rappers always rap about luxury brands, rap about money, because they don't have it. It's insecurity. Because they know they're subjected to York Rite, Scottish Rite Freemasons who allow them to operate. It's slave mind. That's all it is. It's new age slavery. They're still in captivity. Some of you are already, we left captivity and became free to do whatever we want, say whatever we want. They had the image of what we live every day. They have an image of that. They portray an image that they can go out and buy whatever they want. They don't. They don't. Because what if one of them woke up and said, I'm going to do this? They will lock those credit cards down. They take their bank accounts. They'll kick them out on the street. Take, for example, I'm not saying this is what happened, but take like a Delonte West situation. That is what will happen to one of those celebrities if they went against their masters, if they went against the laws they took oaths to. That would happen. They would be on the street looking like they're drugged out, going from their career and going for nothing. And they have the power to do that. Remember when Dave Chappelle said he went to a meeting and said, oh, we want you to do this? He's like, no, I'm not accepting that. He's like, all right. Cat Williams spoke on this. Cat Williams said that after that meeting, they told him by the time he got back home, everybody would think he was smoking crack and went to Africa. And as soon as he landed back at home, that's exactly what everybody thought, that he went to Africa and he went crazy and was smoking crack, not knowing that he didn't take the oaths that they wanted him to, so they erased him. Did you hear nothing from him? He couldn't work a move or do nothing. Then he came back, and the reason why he had that special, because he accepted the oaths. When he sat with David Letterman, he had black and white checker socks on, the same socks that Rich Paul had on when he had his magazine cover shoot, when he had his coming out party of him separating himself from just LeBron into having his own agency. They do the same exact rituals. They are the puppets. You have to see this. So that's why I wanted to wrap this up. That's why you see now Pete Davidson is being brought up. He's having him and Lorne Michaels are already working on another show just for him where it talks about his life, which is pretty, no one cares. But because everybody's already on his side as far as him dating Kim and what Kanye is doing to make himself the bad guy in service of Pete Davidson. Now Pete has a comedy show coming out, and it's supposed to be like, you know, a Curb Your Enthusiasm type show. I don't know if anybody will watch it, but like I said before, in order for him to rise up in degrees and reap the benefits of it, you guys have to accept him as an everyday person in your life now. And that's what they did with the Kanye beef. And they do that with any celebrity. They do that with every celebrity, to tell you the truth. They do that. But I wanted to keep this short because it was really much to talk about other than the Ukrainian war, the gas and rent and prices. And I think every time Passover comes up, my spirit always directs me to the Book of Jasher. Every time. When I first woke up and didn't really know about Passover, the spirit called on me to read Jasher. And I literally read Jasher in 2 days. And it's 91 books. I mean, most of them not that long. But I read Jasher literally in two nights. I read it at night, which I do most of my Bible reading at night. I don't know why. I guess because everything kind of calms down and my brain can focus on one or two things. So I usually read scripture at night. So I read I really read all of the Book of Jasher in two nights, and it was amazing. So now I'm going to go back because there's a lot of things that I didn't pick up on that I do remember, but I wanted to go on like a short history lesson of the Book of Jasher. Most people don't understand where the title Pharaoh comes from. Even Black America, which is, it disgusts me that Black America think they're pharaohs and they come from pharaohs. But they don't have no idea where this title Pharaoh actually comes from. If you read the Book of Jasher, chapter 14, it's about it says, the first verse, in those days there was in the land of Shinar a wise man who had understanding and all wisdom and of a beautiful appearance, but he was poor and indigent. His name was Reuquan, and he was hard set to support himself. So what he did was he hired out a couple of bodyguards to hold down a plot of land where people would bury their dead. He was holding that land hostage. So when people would come up to him, he said, well, if you want to bury somebody here, I have to charge you. This is probably where we get funeral service from. We probably get funeral service from this one guy. So what he did was hold down a plot of land. People's relatives would die, and they were able to bury them freely without having to pay money. But people would come and ask, can we bury, you know, what is this? Can we bury our loved ones? He said, no, you have to pay me. And that's what he was doing. He was charging people, the land that he was holding down, he was charging them for people to bury their loved ones. And he got rich doing this. He got rich to the point where people were complaining that they had to pay him because it wasn't their custom to pay anybody to bury their dead. So this was a custom in the king of Egypt. He would come out once a year to the people. Once a year. I'm talking about it, the whole year go around, you never seen this guy. You never seen this king, but you're serving him. He would come out once a year to judge the people, and then he would go back in for one day. That was it. You wouldn't see him. So the time that he would come out, they complained about Reuquan and what he was doing. And so the king got upset. The king of Egypt got upset and sent people to bring Reuquan to him. And when Reuquan came, he basically bribed the king of Egypt and all he was doing. He said, oh, this is all the stuff that I gained serving you. So he gave him all these, you know, gifts and all this other stuff. And from that day forward, because he was smart, Reuquan was smart, he was able to serve the king of Egypt and be his second-hand man. And at that point in time, Jasher 14, 27, and the king answered and said to Reuquan, your name shall no more be called Reuquan, but Pharaoh shall be your name, since you did exact a tax from the dead, and he called his name Pharaoh. And the king and his subjects loved Reuquan for his wisdom, and they consulted with all the inhabitants of Egypt to make him perfect under the king. And all the inhabitants of Mitzrayim, Egypt, and his wise men did so, and it was made a law in Mitzrayim, Egypt. And they made Reuquan, Pharaoh, perfect under the king And Raekwon Pharaoh governed over Egypt, daily administering justice to the whole city, while the king went back in for his, you know, once a year. So that's where the title Pharaoh comes from, to be able to exact a tax from the dead. Isn't this what America is? This is why the Most High called America Egypt in Deuteronomy 28:68. Because that's basically what we do. We have to pay somebody. We pay funeral directors, funeral services to bury our own. We pay a tax. And since everybody's in love with this zombie and calling us zombies and all this other stuff, it's basically, we're basically, to them, we're walking zombies. We're the walking dead. So they exact a tax from us. So that's where they get Pharaoh from. And black Americans are walking around in this Kemet and this spirituality, this new way spirituality, thinking that they're we're pharaohs. But let me go into another. Let's go into the what happened again in the Exodus and what happened while the Israelites were enslaved to the Egyptians. And this is my theory or my opinion on the matter. I think the reason why the Most High allowed the Israelites to be in slavery is because the Most High can see infinite possibilities of all the tribes of the earth and seeing what each one would become. That's where you, when you see Marvel Universe and Doctor Strange flirting around with, you know, parallel universes, all that crap, that's man's business. But they're trying to imitate what the Most High can do. No one brings in anything into this world without being copied or manipulated from the Most High first. So in order for them to assume that Doctor Strange and the Marvel Universe can have parallel universes with different versions of the people, that means they know, or demons know, fallen angels know, that the Most High has the ability to see time as one. That means seeing different options of what different tribes of the world would do if they were in slavery or in certain situations. And I believe that the Most High went through every tribe to see what would happen if they went through slavery. And maybe at the end of it, the outcome wasn't what he thought. So he chose the Israelites to go this because he knew that they would be disobedient to their laws, to his laws, to the Torah, that he would have to use this as a measuring stick for them to act right when they wake up. And that's what happened in Genesis 13:15. When he says your descendants will go into slavery thousands of years ago, they will go into slavery for 400 years. And we have lived that 1619 to 2000 some 400 year slavery. So that means he already sees time happening. He's seen the beginning and the end at the same exact time. So the reason why Israelite slavery happened, the first one, is because we were going to be disobedient, and he knew we were going to be disobedient. That's why when Moses goes to Mount Sinai, and he said, look, I'm going to tell you now, they are going to not do these ordinances, they're not going to obey the law, statutes, and commandments, because it's a stiff-necked people, and I got to deal with them the way I know I'm going to deal with them. I got to keep bringing out the belt on them, because they don't know no better, and they don't want to know no better. So that's the reason why he placed the first slavery of the Israelites in Egypt. So when we woke up, this would be the last place it would be, because he said, Deuteronomy 28:68, I'm sending you back to Egypt by ships. So now we went from Egypt then to where we are now. And it's beautiful because he saw all of it at the same time. Y'all believe Marvel Universe, but don't want to believe how the Most High operates, and they have to get that knowledge from somewhere. So let's go back to what I was saying in Jasher, chapter 77, verse 14. And this is what I told you before, that they were throwing babies in the ocean, and the Most High had to save these babies. But let me tell you what else they were doing. The wickedness that they were creating. Jasher 77, verse 14, and it shall come to pass that if you are deficient in your daily bricks, I will put your young children in their stead. So you know about in the movie 10 Commandments, when they were making the bricks and needed straw and all that. So after they got the straw taken away from them to make the bricks, and they had to make the same tally of bricks every single day. And he told them, if you don't make these bricks, if you lack making some of these bricks, I'm going to put your infant children within where the bricks were supposed to be. Think on that real quick. You know how crazy that sounds? I'm going to take away your ability to make the bricks with a particular resources you need to make the bricks strong. So it don't just turn to mud. So it doesn't turn into a mud pie as what we used to make when we were children. You saw how that wasn't steady. That wasn't firm. So I'm going to take your Israelite children. I'm going to take your children from you. I'm going to put those children within those bricks. So remember when Yochebed, when she was going to be caught in the bricks? Because if you've seen the movie, her robe was caught with the thing and she was going to be smashed between those two stones. Imagine that with infant children being put in between bricks alive. And y'all want to talk about, oh, we're pharaohs, we're kings. We're the kings of Egypt. We're Isis, we're Horus, we're Set. Do you understand? This is what they were doing. They were still practicing Kemet and all that spirituality that Black America thinks they're now, that they come from. They did the same beliefs then. That's what they believed. They believed in Kemet and all the same spiritual requirements to be Egyptians. They believed that then, just as much as you fools in Black America believe it now. And the taskmasters of Egypt did so in the days of Pharaoh had ordered them. And whenever any deficiency was found in the children of Israel, measure of their daily bricks, the taskmasters of Pharaoh would go to the women of the children of Israel and take infants of the children of Israel to the number of bricks deficient. They would take them by force from their mother's laps and put them in the building instead of the bricks. While their fathers and mothers were crying over them and weeping, when they heard the weeping voices of their infants in the wall of the building. The only reason why some of you here, because your forefathers and your foremothers weren't in those bricks. That should waken you up out of that stupid Kemet mess. It really should. Always like it, like when Pharaoh Otten or whatever that YouTube channel that he had, and then he said something about Jews and they canceled his whole YouTube channel. Then you saw him on Nick Cannon's stupid show. But he's an African American talking, always promoting Pharaoh and Otten and all the, and some other people on social media that's promoting the same type of stupidity. When they call themselves Pharaoh, the sun god worship, Kemet, 777, they use a numerology. It is the most dumbest and idiotic version of Kemet in Black America is on social media and Instagram. You should just search it and just listen to what they say. It is the most mind-boggling ignorance I have ever heard in my life. And then they write paragraphs of it in the captions about whatever foolishness the Egyptians believed in and think they are the same as Egyptians. Not knowing these people toss your relatives in the ocean. These people killed the firstborn male of your household. These people would put your infant forefathers and foremothers in the bricks alive and close the bricks up while their children are screaming and crying and weeping, and so they could be bricks within the walls of Egypt. Those pyramids, how Egypt was, that was really the blood of your ancestors. Just how the White House was built by slaves and most of America was built by slaves. Your blood equates to the same slavery. That should waken you up. But let me calm down, because I get hot reading some of this stuff. Because I go on social media to look what's the next topic I can actually talk about. And the reason that I do that is so I can see how everybody else thinks. I'm always on either Tumblr or other stuff, just listening to what this generation talks about, what they believe in, what they're excited about. And that's how I came up with the episode about Euphoria, because I see these young kids talking about foolishness. I see these people talking about Kemet and trying to weigh Kemet versus Christianity and say, well, Christianity came from Kemet, and then let's throw out the whole Bible because Christianity came from Kemet, and that's not what it came from. maybe the name or whatever, but it comes down to sun god Tammuz, Ishtar, Semiramis. It comes from most with the occult version of religion comes from Babylon. So really, it's ignorance weighing itself against more ignorance. So they're trying to say, well, I don't want to touch the Bible because it's Christianity, and Christianity came from the Egyptians. And both is ignorance. So that's what they're trying to find reasons to stay in Kemet by trying to assault Christianity and don't even know the basis or the backstory up to what they really believe in. That's why I said before, if you shred this place down to its infinite source, you shred it down to its finite source, it's going to be somewhere in Babylon that has something to do with Nimrod and Semiramis. But in Jasher 77, another story that came out of that was the stick. When Moses went into the land of Midian, which is modern day Ethiopia, the land of Cush, he was placed in jail by Zipporah's father, who ended up becoming his father-in-law. And Reuel had a stick in his garden. No one can touch this stick. I'm talking about men would try to pull this stick out to marry Zipporah. And I guess, I don't know if he said it or he told people, hey, if you pull this stick out of the ground that's been in this yard for years, then you can marry my daughter. Maybe that's what they said, because men tried, mighty men have tried to take this stick and just couldn't do it. Until when Moses came, Reuel put him in prison for 10 years. So Moses was in prison after becoming a king in Cush. He went to prison because he was a runaway. So people thought, like, you know, the Egyptians are going to eventually come looking for this guy, and I'm going to get killed if I'm harboring a fugitive. So they put him in jail for 10 years. And during those 10 years, they didn't give him no food or water to drink. They were just going to let him die in prison. But the Most High had plans for them. So the Most High had Zipporah bring him food, you know, sneaking to bring him food for 10 years. So when they go back to find out, see if he was dead or not, after 10 years, he was alive. And Reuel thought, like, oh my gosh, like, how can this man live off no bread and water and still be alive? And his daughter is like, yeah, dad, how could this be? And the whole time, she's the one that's keeping him alive. That's why, again, this is, let me stop the story. This is the point I'm telling y'all. You can't stop worrying about where you're going to get your next gas from, where you're going to live, where you're going to get food, how you're going to survive. The Most High has a plan for you, so you will not have to want or fret. Moses was down there, didn't know anybody. He's down there in the dungeon, in a pit, for 10 years. He did the same thing to Joseph. Joseph went into, when the Egyptian queen told him, like, oh, he raped me, that which was a lie, he got sent to prison. And he still made it out. The Most High is watching, y'all. I don't think y'all understand this. Y'all think Most High is asleep and he's just going to come out at the end of everything going down. He's watching. If you pray and ask him for help, he's not going to say, oh, I'm not hearing you. I'm not listening to you. I mean, if you live in a sinful life, yeah, he's probably not going to listen. I mean, the scripture states, like, I turn my ear for those who keep sinning. But if you're not sinning, you come out of this world, he's going to pay attention to you. He's going to know what you need before you ask for it. So Moses is in this pit, and he comes out of this pit. And let me tell you the story of the stick. So when Adam and Eve was kicked out of the garden, Adam took this particular stick with him, which I didn't even know. It was engraved with Yahuwah's name on it. So he took the stick out of the garden with him, and that stick has been passed down. It was with Noah. From Noah, it became either the Shem or Abraham. It traveled on down to Jacob. Jacob had it after he had fought Esau for it, because he had to take it back from Esau because Esau stole it. Because Abraham, Isaac, and it was passed down to Jacob. So when Jacob had it, Jacob gave it to Joseph. Joseph was the Egyptian. So when Joseph died, Reuel took the stick from Joseph and brought it to his garden, and it was just lying there. So this stick has been traveling all the way down since Adam with Yahuwah's name on it. waiting for Moses. Do you understand? This one stick, after Adam got kicked out of the garden, after the deluge, after the flood, Noah had it. It's been passed down, this one stick, not breaking, this one stick, and it happens to be in Midian waiting for Moses. So all the mighty men, it says 77 verse 49, and all the mighty men of the Qanim, or whatever that name is, tried to pluck it. And when they endeavored to get Zipporah, his daughter, but they were unsuccessful, so that the stick remained planted in the garden of Reuel until he came who had right to it and took it. And when Reuel saw the stick in the hand of Moshe, which is Moses, he wondered at it and gave him his daughter Zipporah for a woman. So Moses was destined to get this stick, destined to pull it from the ground. Now, who does that sound like? Now, what? Tell me, what story comes to mind when you hear that story? When you hear that, the sword and the stone. Where you think they got that? From the book of Jasher. The Sword of Stone, which Disney made a movie. It's a funny movie, a great movie, but about Merlin, all this stuff they created. This image of European bloodlines that they created from Excalibur and King Arthur, baloney. It BS. Everything they didn't do, it was from us first. That's even, I mean, even if you want to go into wickedness, when you want to go into Nimrod, when you go to the first Antichrist, the Tower of Babel, that was started by a black man, a Hamite. And the bell shafts that you see on the church steeples, that really long pyramid looking, like the obelisks that they put on churches, the monument in DC that they spread out from Egypt, that's Nimrod's penis, because it was cut off when he lost his kingship. And after the Tower of Babel happened, where the Most High confused the languages, he lost pretty much a lot of his kingdom. But he started to go to war with other surrounding monarchs. And he ended up getting beaten. To the point where the descendants of Shem, which you Shemites, where you Israelites, or you African Americans are, you're our forefathers, beat Nimrod and cut his penis off. I don't know why, but that's what they did. So from Egypt, that's what you see, those monuments, those obelisks. That comes from that Baal shaft. It comes from Nimrod's penis. When the Greeks and Romans, when they were starting putting images of phallic worship and phallic symbols all over their cities, it comes from us. Everything comes from us. Pedophilia, bestiality, all of it was black first before it became what white folk in those secret societies do now. But that's where the story of the stick comes from. The stick that has Yahuwah's name on it, that Moses used to beat Pharaoh and go into Pharaoh and do all this. That story of the sword and stone came from that. Now you know the real story of the sword and the stone. It wasn't King Arthur pulling it from an anvil or pulling it from a stone and becoming a king. No, it was about Moses. So now you know where they steal stuff from. But let's go into chapter 79. I'm just jumping around. I'm going to tell you how serious the covenant of the Most High is. The covenant that the Most High puts us under is serious, even down to circumcision. Now, Moses had two boys. His first son, named Gershom, Reuel, his father-in-law, told him, don't circumcise him. But Moses is an Israelite, a Levite. We have particular laws. Abraham had to be made to circumcise him and Isaac. They were almost grown men. It tells us when Abraham had to sit outside the tent because he was in pain, because he had to circumcise himself as an adult. That hurts. I can tell it hurts. But it was a serious covenant that we are all born under. That's why most of you don't know why you're circumcised. It's really because the Most High has a spirit over us to watch us and make sure we stay in a covenant, even if we're in slavery. And I don't know if most of you are, I don't know if some of you men out there are uncircumcised still. You need to think about it. You really do. If you want to follow these statutes and commandments and say, oh, it doesn't matter. Let me show you why it matters. Jasher 79, verse 8. And Moshe rose up to go to Mizraim, and he took his woman and sons with him. And he was at an inn in the road, and an angel of Elohim came down and sought an occasion against him. And he wished to kill him on account of his firstborn, because he had not circumcised him, and he had transgressed the covenant which Yahuwah had made with Abraham. For Moshe had hearkened to the words of his father-in-law, which he had spoken to him not to circumcise his firstborn son. Therefore, he circumcised him not. And Zipporah saw the angel of Yahuwah seeking occasion against Moshe, and she knew that this thing was owing to his not having circumcised her son Gershom. And Zipporah hastened and took a sharp rock stones that were there, and she circumcised her son and delivered her man and her son from the angel of Elohim, which means these angels are watching. When the Most High say, I want you to do something, you better damn well do it. This ain't no game. So the Most High knew that Moses, they were, eventually, he knew they were going to circumcise, but he sent that angel down there to tell him, you better tell him to do what I just told Abraham to go do. He know these laws and statutes and commandments. He know the rules. And you have to think, we are the only children that he's done this with. There are a lot of Greeks, Romans, you know, Japhethites. There's a lot of people that he's not sending angels down there to make sure that we were circumcised or not. If you read the book of Maccabees, that's what one of the things they try to get us to transgress was to eat pig and to leave our sons uncircumcised. So even Greeks and Romans know the stories of how we came to be. They even knew our laws and statutes, so they knew what to break. It's the same way in America. They know who you are. In order to keep you from who you are and keep you away from your power, they would have to know all the rules of the game to do so. Some of y'all get excited because black entertainers mention Israelites, or I was watching a movie called Clockers, 1995 movie called Clockers. I mean, it was the most ghettoest movie I ever seen in my life. And I watched this movie about 10, 15 times when I was younger. Never did I thought that I would hear one of the actors mentions, I'm from the Lost Black Tribe. He was mocking the other actor. He said, oh, I'm from the Lost Black Tribes of Israel. I mean, why would they? That's a Spike Lee movie. Why would he say this? Because Spike Lee knows who we are. And they don't say nothing. They just mock you with just putting it in there. So you'd be like, oh, I don't know what he's talking about. Let's get back to Negroes selling drugs and making money. And that's what they put. It was a perfect way to put that in there. To mock you. To slip in the truth and be like, and then you would want to not hear the truth and go back into watching them get into drug running and shooting and other wickedness they did in the city of New York in the 90s. But they know. Black entertainers know. They are being told what the secrets of to keep this thing going. They are told the secrets so then they can learn to mock you with it, keep you away from it, and they do the bidding of York Rite, Scottish Rite Freemasons. All of them are subjected under slavery, under the crown of Rome and the Queen. So they can't tell you who you really are and have you follow it with examples. You would think, because he knew about the Israelites, you would think Spike Lee would have a good movie, a modern day movie about Jacob, about Isaac, about Abraham. But they will never make it. The same way you won't see a great movie, a great biblical movie directed by Tyler Perry. They don't have that power. You guys think they have a power to make our image whatever they want. And when you see them, it's always some buck-breaking nonsense that they have us doing. That all of a sudden, a guy that's leaving his wife for a man that he's been downloading with. And then it's just foolishness. But that's the power they are given to do, because they're subjected under a monarch rule to do this, to make us look like idiots in this country and in this world in general. But that's how serious the covenant is that the Most High made with Abraham. But now, since the plagues were running rampant, I particularly saw one plague that kind of struck me that was hilarious. Jasher chapter 80, verse 33, I'll start there. And Yahuwah sent and brought numerous locusts into Mizraim, the Chazal, Shalom, Chargol, and Chagoli, locusts of each of its kind, which devoured all the hail had left remaining. Then Egypt rejoiced at the locusts, although they consumed the produce of the field, and they caught them in abundance and salted them for food. And Yahuwah turned a mighty wind of the sea, which took away all the locusts, even those that were salted, and thrust them into the Red Sea. Not one locust remained within the boundaries of Egypt. I had to laugh when I read this, because the plagues were going on. I mean, lice, darkness, boils, all this was going on, and the Egyptians were suffering through these plagues. So when he released these particular locusts to eat up all the crops and everything, they didn't have anything to eat. So when they saw the locusts, these Egyptians, y'all, started, they salted the locusts and started eating them. That's why, like, when you watched, you ever watched Anthony Bourdain, when he does he used to have that show, he used to go and eat all this weird food, and some of them were eating locusts and eating insects. The Egyptians, the Hamites, the Africans that you guys so-called worship, they were boiled down to eating locusts. And when the Most High must have saw them, like, damn, they enjoying these locusts a little bit too much. Because they put salt on them and start eating them. So he's like, no. These are plagues. I need y'all to feel these plagues. So he sent the wind. Just imagine you eating. Somebody take their hand and smack your plate into the wall. That's what the Most High did to the Egyptians. When they started rejoicing about finding a little bit of food, a little bit of rest from these plagues, he was like, I'm taking it all out. So after the locusts had eaten the hail, eaten the snow, they was like, all right, we're going to eat these locusts. So they start eating them and enjoying them. The Most High knocked their plate on the floor. He knocked their plate off the floor with the wind. And it's like, nah, you ain't eating these. And that's it. I mean, it was funny to me when I read this. If you want to read it in, you know, Jasher 80, start at 33. Hilarious, man. But while the plagues were going on, also, the Israelites, because they were so prone to being in Egypt, so prone to living amongst Egyptians, that they were starting to rebel against the Most High, even when these plagues were sent to release them from captivity. And it's going to be the same way in America when the Most High unleashed plagues on this country. There's going to be a lot of us who don't want to leave this country and its ways alone. Wash your hands. Shout out to my sister Penelope. Wash your hands of these people and this country and all of their devices. Because I'm telling you, what happened in Egypt and slavery is the same thing is going to happen when we get out of captivity in America. Even though we're out of slavery, like real bondage, you know, that yoke is off our necks, they still control how we live our lives. We need to start getting out of mental slavery before we get caught. Jasher 80, verse 37. At the time, died many of the people of Israel who had rebelled against Yahuwah and who would not hearken to Moshe and Aaron and believed not in them that Elohim had sent them. And that's the problem with us. That's what stiff neck comes from. The Most High sent Moses and Aaron to ease their backs from working unbelievable slavery, and they didn't want to believe them. They didn't want to leave Egypt. And who had said, we will not go forth from Egypt, lest we perish with hunger in a desolate wilderness, and who would not hearken to the voice of Moshe. And Yahuwah plagued them in the 3 days of darkness without the Mitzrayim knowing of them or rejoicing over them. So when they were sitting in darkness, he had to put some of the Israelites in darkness because they do not want to listen. And a lot of y'all are going to have the same problem. You don't want to listen to the Ruach. You don't want to listen to the Most High. You want to listen to whatever TV say, whatever celebrity, black celebrities say, because you think they like you. So if trouble is hitting you, it should hit them also. And I'm telling you, they aren't under the same laws as you. You have the ability to get up. Metaphorically speaking, you have the ability to get up, go to the Most High, wash your hands of this place, and get ready to be let out of here. That's what you should be preparing for. You shouldn't be preparing to stock up food, stock up water. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting up, going humbling yourself, go to the Most High, ask for forgiveness first, ask what can you do to make sure your living expenses is taken care of, how you will be able to take care of yourself is going to be handled. Go to him and he will give you the answers. But you must wash your hands of this wickedness that is America. Wash your hands of this ideology that America will be saved by one president. Wash your hands that you will be saved from with Bitcoin currency. Wash your hands and thinking that defending celebrities online is a ticket for your redemption, your salvation. Joshua 80, 49, and I'll close it out here. And Bithiah, the daughter of Pharaoh, went forth with the king on the night to seek Moses and Aaron in their houses, and they found them in their houses, eating and drinking and rejoicing with all Israel. Egypt was falling apart. Moses and Aaron and all the rest of the Israelites who knew better was laughing, drinking, and rejoicing. That is going to happen again, ladies and gentlemen. Those who are awakened, we will be laughing, eating, drinking, and rejoicing when this world collapses on itself. America first. That's why I have to worry about what's going to happen to me, because it says in scripture, it's going to happen again. And so is our redemption, our salvation. Rejoice.